Well, there are 13 root bloodlines that the kingdom of darkness is primarily partnering with to bring about the Antichrist agenda in the earth. It was given the privilege of being pulled into that scroll. I flew through that scroll like it was a portal. And the purpose that God has for us is beyond anything that we have made room for until now.
You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall.
Friends, we're back on Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall as I am continuing on my effort to make sure this podcast goes out weekly. I am going to be talking to you a little bit today about my latest book, Awakened. Friends, this book is jam-packed. I mean, it is loaded. And it focuses on the pre-Adamic ages. It's going to focus on creation, and it's going to focus on this in a developing narrative surrounding the spirit of man. And this conversation is so vast and so big, it's hard to conceptualize certain things in just a few statements. But the overarching meta-narrative that I've been journeying over the past few years, and if you've been following me, if you've been following the Bride Ministries Church, you'll know that we did an extended series on the pre-Adamic ages. Also, I've done a few podcasts on this subject, but I'll tell you, it just won't stop expanding. And the reality is, there are a lot of people that are kind of, you know, on the fence about this subject because, you know, pre-Adamic has not been necessarily the popular view in Christendom, at least in the West. And I know for one, I never really weighted the reality of a pre-Adamic era as important, especially early in my walk, because I was trained to believe that creation was young. I was trained in young earth theology. I was trained to believe that God created the earth in six literal 24-hour days at the beginning of Genesis 1. And everything that we observe in creation is going to have its truth revealed when placed in a roughly 6,000-year narrative that takes us to present day. So the idea of any kind of activity on the earth prior to Adam's creation, to me, was nonsense. It didn't land. It didn't make sense. And, you know, I really, really was strongly attached to that viewpoint for a long time. And I went through a series of things that forced me to reconsider some of my opinions. These began with deliverance. And with the deliverance experiences, we would be working with people and, you know, we'd get to certain things that we would be repenting of. And anybody that's worked in deliverance understands that sometimes things break and sometimes they don't. And you may be using tools. We may have been using tools that, you know, worked under some circumstances, but with others, it would fail to work. And then we'd have to lean into Holy Spirit and be like, what are we missing? What legalities, what unknown claims does the kingdom of darkness has? Why is this not processing through? And there would be times where Holy Spirit would come back and say, you need to like deal with this issue in the bloodline back before Adam. And the language would be given to us. It has to be before Adam. And whereas we may repent of something back to Adam, or even three or four generations, in some cases we'd have a breakthrough, in other cases there would be no breakthrough, we wouldn't get the breakthrough in some of those cases until we use the very specific language before Adam. And this yielding a breakthrough for certain individuals forced a conversation. After a certain point, I had to ask in myself, I had to ask in my time with God, why is there a need to repent of certain things in bloodlines to a time before Adam, before it breaks? Now, before I go any further on that, some of you are going to immediately have this question. Dan, I've heard some deliverance ministers say that you're supposed to repent of things back to Adam. I hear you saying you repent of some things back before Adam. But when I read my Bible in the book of Deuteronomy and other places, it says the Lord visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations. Why would you do that if it says visits the iniquity to the third and fourth generations? That doesn't make sense according to my Bible. And friend, I will answer you with this simple statement. There are things in the Bible known as idioms. Idioms are statements that utilize language to communicate an idea, but the literal words are not what the meaning is anchored to. Like when, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you heard people say things like, go take a hike. Now, for young folks, you may not understand what that means. You have, what do you mean by that? You mean go hike in the mountains? Exactly. That's what you're thinking, because when you take a hike, you go in the mountains. But there was a point in time where take a hike meant get out of my face. I don't want to talk to you anymore. But if you were to write down take a hike and you didn't have cultural context for that statement, you wouldn't understand that it is an idiom. And you'd be like, wow, this person really likes to tell everybody they don't like to go hike in a mountain. That's not what they mean. The term visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations is actually an idiom. And the actual idea behind that is more like as long as it takes. And so there's not a specific time frame on that statement because it's actually an idiom. Same thing with when Jesus said, how many times do I need to forgive my brother? And he says 70 times seven, not seven. Does Jesus literally mean 490 times? No, it doesn't mean that. He means as many times as you need to, because that was an idiom. So yeah, there is an idiom around this one, and that's confused a lot of deliverance people. But the reality is there are certain things that don't break in my lived experience until we are dealing with them behind Adam. The question is why? As I began to grow in my question about this, I landed on certain information that forced another conversation. And that was because we were getting into all of these questions around the Illuminati bloodlines. And one of the things that was, you know, communicated to me is there are 13 root bloodlines that the kingdom of darkness is primarily partnering with to bring about the Antichrist agenda in the earth. And these are the 13 root bloodlines of the Illuminati. That's when I began to understand that the Illuminati, that it's not just a bunch of people and rappers and famous folks that get recruited to a devil's club. It's actual bloodlines, and these people are pulling on ancient powers and initiations into knowledge that is very secret or occult. And it runs in the family, because in the cult world, everything is about iniquity. They understand that iniquity doesn't just disappear. It can be compounded from one generation to the next. The Antichrist himself will be the perfection of iniquity in a living vessel. And to that end, you have 13 root bloodlines that are carrying extraordinary investments of iniquity in order to be participant in the bringing about of the end time plans of the kingdom of darkness. Well, a lot of the people that I've worked with in my deliverance ministry have defected out of some of these bloodlines, and they have all the scars to prove the agendas that sit in these bloodlines. And the reality is, as we began to explore, like, how far back does this iniquity go that's sitting in the bloodline? We kept going back behind Adam. Not only that, we began to find that some of the dots were connecting on what people are questioning as alien races and non-human groups and the powers that were sitting behind the iniquity in the Illuminati bloodlines. We began to connect dots on why does this person always get abducted by this specific group? The Pleiadians are always coming after this person, or this other person consistently has problems with the Anunnaki. Why are they always being targeted by this specific group? And we found that, well, these groups were often entangled with these individuals through bloodline iniquity, and the individual is actually carrying markers that these groups claim as their legal rights to then, you know, harass that person's life or try to recruit them to agendas that are evil. Well, when we began to question, like, well, how old and ancient are some of these groups? Again, we found ourselves going back behind Adam. And what we realized is Well, no, the ancient nature of this universe is woven right into what people are battling in present time. We're not fighting against an enemy that emerged 6,000 years ago and just targeted humanity because they're mad at Jesus. We are finding ourselves at the cross-section of a lot of cosmic activity in this age. There was a lot of activity that led up to a massive cataclysm in the earth, after which God is putting Adam in the garden as a fixer. And Jesus Christ follows up on that first Adam as the last Adam to finish everything the first Adam failed at doing. And the redemption that Jesus is authoring is beyond the scope of humankind's reconciliation to the Father. He is reconciling the whole created order through his death, burial, and resurrection. So we are now looking at a much larger picture, because the deliverance and the need of people that are under the oppression of darkness is forcing the conversation. And then we get back to about 2023. It was actually 2022 when I first put together a prayer resource, which we never made public, but we did it at our advance that year. And I called it Freedom from Root Races of the Illuminati, where we were using this revelation of all of this pre-Adamic activity of non-human groups and entities that went into an ancient rebellion against Yahweh to deliver people from the iniquity that sat in their bloodlines. And we had so many deliverances at that advance that year that went way beyond skin deep. And I mean, I still use that prayer resource at times in my private, you know, coaching with people, and all of our coaches, Bride Ministries, they have this resource. And I mean, it has led to some of the most profound deliverance. And you know, that was really the, you know, even still some of the beginning. The following year is when God pulled me into this encounter. I've shared about this encounter in other podcasts, but in this encounter, I was essentially fast-tracking, and I talk about the entire encounter in this book, but I was pulled into a scroll in my dream, and in that scroll, I was permitted to read sections of the cosmic history pertaining to pre-Adamic events. It's because it's all written. It's actually recorded, and I was given the privilege of being pulled into that scroll. I flew through that scroll like it was a portal, and then I landed in a realm with Holy Spirit, where me and Holy Spirit had a long conversation about some things. But this was my full activity. It was like the unlocking for me, and really an unlocking for the whole realm of our ministry at Bride Ministries, that God was like, it is now time that knowledge is going to increase on this subject. Because it's not just a debate on whether it's a young earth or an old earth. It's certainly not a debate whether it's a round earth or a flat earth. Please, I don't go with flat earth. I'm sorry. You know, you can make your case in the comments section if you want to. But what we are realizing is that it's not a debate on theology anymore. God is putting a demand on this conversation because there are things he wants to use his body to resolve that requires an understanding of the ancient nature of this universe and the ancient nature of this very planet. Because we are not the first intelligent population to have a role on this planet either. In fact, some of the scarring, some of the problems that Earth has was perpetrated against this planet outside of the age of mankind. And we, as mankind, inherited some of the problems regarding the damage that was done to this planet. It's extraordinary. In fact, one of the things that I've learned, and again, I'm having a very surface level discussion in this podcast about some of the stuff I explore in this book. Some of the things that we are going to discover is that the principalities and territorial spirits we need to contend with over some areas of the earth don't have their origins within the frame of mankind's existence as human beings on this earth. Some of these territorial spirits are ancient entities with pre-Adamic origins. And until we understand what we are up against and what we are contending with, we're going to continue to fall short as the body of Christ to do what God put us here to do. One of the things that I am absolutely committed to communicating to the body of Christ is that we are the body of reconciliation. The same body that Jesus was born in is the same body that he died in. It's the body that he took to the grave, and it's the body that he resurrected from the dead. It's the body that ascended to heaven, and it's the body that we are baptized into. The Bible says there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's one body of Christ. In the earth, we create all of these different systems and branches. So this person's Baptist, this person's Lutheran, this person's charismatic, and that person, you know, they listen to Dan Duvall, whatever that means. Like, you know, and we say, okay, we have all of these different groups, but friends, that's not the biblical revelation. We may disagree on theology. There is one body of Christ. There is one faith and one Lord. There is only one name under heaven by which men must be saved according to the Bible. That's the name of Jesus, Yeshua. There's no other name. There's no other body. What that means is that when God says in the book of Colossians, he is reconciling all things, whether in heaven or on earth, through the blood of the cross, what that is suggesting is that God is in the body of Jesus Christ reconciling all of the disorder in heaven and earth. That's the whole ordered creation. And we are that body. We are baptized into the death of Jesus so we can be raised up in the newness of life in him. So one of the things that Awakened explores is not only the reality that we are the body of reconciliation that God is using to bring about a cosmic redemption, it's also explaining why there is a cosmic interest in the matters of mankind at the end of the age. Friends, there is an explosion. People all over the world are coming out from behind closed doors to express their discontentment with their targeting, with their harassment, with their abduction experiences, with their programming. I mean, there are so many operations. There are so many technologies people are being afflicted by that don't even have their origin on Earth. We see deliverances where there is nanotechnology coming out of people, particles, black goo. I mean, it's like, where is all of this stuff coming from? And the people that have the firsthand knowledge are sitting in, at certain points in their lives, the laboratories and the craft on and off planet where this stuff is being engineered and worked on by scientists that are both human and other. And they're saying, I know exactly where some of this technology is coming from. And it's not fully human. In fact, you have people that are reporting how they're part of, you know, operations where trades are being made with entity groups that are not human for technologies so that they can build out their new world order or global governance. And you know what? This is the same kind of stuff that was happening in the ancient world of Noah, where people were getting technology from the watchers that fell and took wives of human women. Only it's upscaled now a lot. And in the book Awaken, what we are exploring is an even larger framework of reference and relevance, because what we're understanding now is even what happened in the days of Noah was predicated on ancient events that predated Adam's placement in the garden. The truth is that as we've gone deeper into this and the Lord has unveiled more, there is so much information that is now coming from not history books, but from the record encoded in our own human spirits. And that's why this conversation hasn't been able to be had before, because the church hasn't understood body, soul, and spirit. We haven't understood what I've been talking about for a decade now, that the human spirit sits as one aspect of our design. We are body, we are soul, and we are spirit. And the spirit is the part of us created in Christ eons ago. Our spirits are way older than our souls and even our, and definitely our physical bodies. And what we haven't understood and what is fully explored, and this is the thing that you have to understand about why I wrote this book. I'm saying a lot of things right here in this podcast that may resonate deeply with some of you that are listening, but for all of your friends and naysayers, it's going to be bouncing off of this theology and this thought and this presumption. And it's like, oh no, you're going to have to qualify that for me, Daniel. Where's your word? Where's all the scripture to back it up? See, this is another nugget. So I wrote a whole book to back it up. That's the thing. This book is systematic theology that will lay the groundwork and foundation theologically for the conversation God needs us to start having. Because God is not only targeting this age for his redemptive agenda in Christ Jesus. The redemptive agenda in Christ Jesus is from this age designed to be transacted forward and backward. There is an entanglement of ages, friends. And in Christ Jesus and with the power of his blood, because of the entanglement of ages, we are empowered now to minister forward and backwards in time, bringing resolution to cosmic conflicts in the ancient past so that the glorious outcomes God has slated for the future are being established. I'm telling you, the purpose that God has for us is beyond anything that we have, I think most of us at least, have made room for until now. But I'm going to help because I'm going to give you an opportunity to consider a lot of theology, but a lot of thoughts that is going to expand your perspective on how important the call and purpose and plan that God has for your life really is. Because you know what? The beauty of the story is that it's not just about something God wants to fix. He's included us in his plan. We are part of the body of reconciliation. We have a role to play. And friends, as one final thought, you know, as we're just kind of doing a surface discussion on some of the things that this book is going to do, really dive deeply into, we have to understand many of us are journeying ungodly cycles in this world that we don't understand. Like, you know, you have a person and it's like every time I start a business, it fails for supernatural reasons that are unexplainable. And I don't know why. You know, you have people that go through cycles of rejection in their lives that are unexplainable, like because their friend that said the same exact thing, the same exact way to the same exact person got a very different response out of that person. But for some reason, these cycles of maybe rejection, abandonment are plaguing one individual and not the other. We say, why? What did I do to deserve some of these outcomes I'm journeying? You know, we have people that have tried all the tricks. It's like, well, I tried transforming my mind. I tried doing this a particular approach to things. There are things that are clinging to my life that just won't let go. I did the deliverance prayers and I'm still journeying problems that don't make sense to me. Maybe God just doesn't love me. Maybe, you know, and we come back to all of these questions that are, you know, just the devil's accusations, untrue, but believable in that state of brokenness and pain. And what we have learned is that there are things people are journeying, not because of something that happened in their lived experience, not even because of a generational curse they received from the iniquity of their parents or grandparents. We are finding that there are traumas that sit in human spirits from pre-Adamic ages and experiences that occurred in those contexts that are playing out as an ungodly cycle in their lives today. And believe it or not, when we get those memories from the human spirit and reconcile the trauma that sits in the human spirit from its experiences in pre-Adamic ages and pre-Adamic conflicts, the people are seeing actual transformation and breakthrough in present time in their physical lives on the earth. What this means is that it is more important than ever that we understand the entanglement of ages. Because even if you get to the point you're like, well, maybe my human spirit did have this long preexistence in Christ where, you know, I don't know anything that happened and for eons of time, you know, whatever, and then I was born on this earth, all of the relevancy of whatever I'm living in happened here, you know, and we want to believe that, but it's not true. There is relevancy, friends, to what our spirits endured long before we were conceived, long before we were born. And when we resolve those traumas, cycles break. And that's another reason why you need this book, because this book includes specific prayer resources. I wrote 3 prayer books, and those books have set people free all over the world. And the prayer books, Prayers That Shake Heaven and Earth series, continues to be referred to by more and more ministers, more and more ministries, more and more people that have just, frankly, they've seen the fruit. All of our coaches are trained with these prayer resources, and we are helping thousands of people all over the world with Bride Ministries coaching. But I'm telling you, like, God has not pushed pause as Extreme Prayers to Shake Heaven and Earth and said, this is all you get to know and all you get to work with. Friends, we got more tools, and those have been put in this book because we have included in this book tools that allow the reader to partner with the power and the blood of Jesus Christ to minister to the traumas and injuries their spirits experience in pre-Adamic ages, so those things can be resolved and breakthrough can be experienced today. That is where theory meets application. Friends, this conversation matters. I'm telling you, this book is going to change a lot of things. It's going to be, I hope, a push forward on the relevancy of the ministry that's coming out of the body of Christ. I believe that there are some entanglements that people have been bound by that will break finally after years of searching, because the missing key has been found. The new book is called Awakened. Friends, I hope you get it. God bless and Godspeed. Friends, we're finding new and creative ways to engage with you. And what we're going to be doing today is answering a couple questions live on the podcast from you on YouTube. We're going to hear from @AnnaBerge, who left a comment in our YouTube feed. And she said, 2-part question, Dan Duvall. When knowing a person or stranger is bothered by a demon or demons, how do you go up to cast it out? Do you cast it out immediately out of the blue and let the cards fall as they may, or do you let that person in their own time come and ask for deliverance help? Friend, I love the enthusiasm that you bring to the conversation of deliverance. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't walk around and just look at people and start casting out demons in the grocery store or at the gas station. That could lead to very awkward encounters. And the reality is, when doing deliverance, you want some degree of agreement from the person receiving that deliverance. If we don't have agreement, then what you're essentially saying is, my will for your future is going to outperform your will for your own future. You know, a lot of people have demons they want. Some people may have demons of mammon, but they want mammon because that's how they get money in ungodly ways. They may have a demon of perversion, but they want that perversion because that's a lifestyle they have come into full agreement with, at least in the present season, and they have no conviction of Jesus. You have to also keep in mind that if we're going to kick out a demon, you're going to want something to fill that space, not just an empty hole. If you go in and you just kick something out because and maybe it does leave because you said something, but that person's like, I don't want Jesus. I don't want Holy Spirit. You know what? That space is going to just remain until whatever that spirit is or something else worse comes back to that person. I would encourage people with the word of God and the truth of who Jesus is for them and let them start with a decision. Do I want Jesus or not? And I'm going to help them decide they want Jesus, because I'm going to tell them Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. Let me tell you about how he transformed my life. And when there's a desire in them for that, and then they find, wow, there's something standing in the way blocking this, then I will come back behind that and say, let me help you, brother. Jesus is a deliverer. Another question comes from our friend, Leona R. A. Watkins, 2756, who said, I would like to know why Lucifer and Satan are claimed to be the one fallen angel cast out from heaven. Friend, that's such a good question. It's a deep question. And I am not going to say everything I could, but I'm going to say a few things. I think that the basis of this question is best answered by understanding what a cherubim is. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12, we find that Satan, the dragon of old, also called the devil, battled with Michael and his angels and lost, and he was thrown out of heaven. Jesus said in Luke 10:18, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. In Ezekiel 28, it suggests that a fallen cherub was turned into ashes upon the earth after he rebelled and sin was found in him because of his trading. And in Isaiah 14, we find that this bad guy is being referred to as Lucifer. He makes five I will statements because he wants to be God, and he comes under judgment. That word Lucifer comes from the Hebrew word Hillel. Lucifer is actually Latin. And so we derive the name Lucifer from the Latin transliteration or translation of Hillel, and we get Satan from the New Testament title of this enemy of God. He's also referred to by that title in the book of Job. And the reality is, it is confusing as to why you have these two titles. I say this cherub actually has a secret name, and I talk about this in my newest book, Awakened, as well. He has a secret name, and it's neither of those, but both of those, Lucifer or Hillel or Satan, they're all titles. And when I have talked to survivors that have had encounters with Lucifer and Satan, they have, in fact, recorded different experiences, whether it is with Lucifer or Satan, which to me early on produced a lot of confusion. But back to my original answer, a cherub is a four-faced entity. And so if you look at a cherub, whether it's Ezekiel 1, Ezekiel 10, we also see them described in the book of Revelation called living creatures. They will have different faces, the face of a man, the face of an eagle, the face of an ox, etc. The different faces, if you were to look at them standing in front of that being, would produce a different encounter. My assumption is that the Lucifer encounter and the Satan encounter being different is tied to that nature of being a cherub and having different faces. Friends, you've been listening to Discovering Truth. I'm out.
You've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Visit me at dandeval.com, where you will discover merch, books, and the opportunity to engage in our private social network. Join the tribe by subscribing to our email list and supporting this podcast.